This episode of Fausto Radio is brought to you by Volpe Martial Arts. Volpe Martial Arts is KW's hottest, newest, yes, it's over a year old, but still KW's hottest, newest Kung Fu and Hapkido martial arts schools, folks. Sifu Adam Volpe is my brother. He brings you his lifelong passion of Kung Fu and Hapkido right to your door. Actually, right now, right to your screen, wherever you are. We're mobile, we're virtual, folks. Check out Volpe Martial Arts for more information. This episode is also brought to you by El Barbudo. El Barbudo Co. Actually, elbarbudoco.com. Tonight's guest, Mario Rivas. This is Mario's company, El Barbudo. Check it out. Beard products, folks. Beard oils, beard balms, beard butter. Check it out. El Barbudo. That's ELBARBUDOCO.com. El Barbudo Co. Check it out, folks. We talk about everything. Mario, it's Mario's second time back. Maybe it's third time. I gotta check. But second time back, at least. Checking in with him. It's been about 8 months or 9 months since the last time I talked to him. We get deep. We talk real. We like just like always. Mario's a great guy. He talks right from his heart. We talk about COVID. We talk about mental health. We talk about just talking about the village. We talk about everything, folks. Check it out. Put your hands together. Don't forget to check out elbarbudoco.com. And when you do, don't forget to use the code word, try it. Check it out. Save yourself 15%, I believe. ElbarbudoCo.com. All right, Lily. Time for you to take it away, sweetheart. Thanks, folks. Have a great night. Episode number 104. I love you all.
Fatso, Fatso, the really great podcast show.
Fatso, Fatso, our very first podcast show. Hey everybody, welcome back. Welcome to Fatso Radio. This is episode number 104, and I am so happy to welcome back a good friend, Mario Rivas. Mario, welcome back, my buddy.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming back. Mario, it's been probably about 6 months or so, maybe even more, maybe 8 months or so since our last episode. Last time we were talking, I think it was back in May of last year. But yeah, man, it's been a crazy year. We were just in the start of the craziness last year when we were chatting. Like I said, welcome back. What's new and how are you holding up?
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I appreciate it. You know, same old, like what can you do when you're in a pandemic and you're stuck at home, you know, working from home, living at home. So it's basically, you know, from the bed to the desk, then the desk to the bed, you know, it's not bad. You know, you got to cope with it. I mean, at the beginning, it was really hard because you didn't know much about the virus. And really struggled with it. I think a combination of everything, right? I already suffer from depression and anxiety. So the pandemic was just on another level. And then we're dealing with the PTSD of my daughter's surgeries. So it just, all of that into one ball, I was not doing well mentally. You know, every little, like, even just your normal heartbeat, you know, you're thinking, holy fuck, am I gonna die from a heart attack or you know, that sort of thing. And sorry, I don't know if you allow swearing.
Oh yeah, no, I just
swore.
We're all about the truth, buddy. No, like,
yeah. So, you know, other than that, you know, you try to get yourself right. I'm now in a better state mentally, especially talking with my doctor. I talk regularly with my therapist. So, you know, after many tests with my doctor, I'm very healthy, which is great. My heart is good. So that just sort of dies down your, you know, your mental state a little bit. You still have it from time to time, but what I've been doing is keeping busy, you know, working hard on my normal job and then working on my side hustle and then doing gaming and working out. You know, you don't know how much working out, being physically active, does for your mental health, you know. So I've been doing a lot of that. Every morning, get up at 6:30, go downstairs, hit the weights. And I've been fortunate enough that I do have some weights as well, because they are expensive now. Yeah. So yeah, you know, try to keep busy. Good. You know, that's all you could do.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that, because routine, I know for me personally, I mean, I, you know, I've battled with depression as well, you know, at different levels. I don't know, you know, I've never talked to a doctor about it, but I probably should have, you know, years ago, or even now today. But absolutely, that rings so true to me as well, because things like routine, things like staying in a good state, you know, a good mental state, those, just something like, you know, a routine gets thrown around and has been thrown around my whole life. I've always heard that, but until you actually try it, until you see the benefits of it, it doesn't really make sense, but it speaks volumes to me, because I know I'm at my best when I'm in routine, when I'm doing things that I know that are good for me, like exercising, like whether it's weights or, you know, walking or running or anything like that. Right. So I like that. And the connection between the physical and the mental, I mean, let's talk about that. So what do you get from exercising? I mean, you're not, don't get me wrong, but you're not going to be a swimsuit model, right? What's the benefit? Because I want to hear about it.
There's so many benefits. Me personally, it's not like I'm looking at these, models and like, sure, who are like rough and cut. Like, I mean, you have some sort of admiration. No doubt.
And that could still be a goal.
It could still be a goal. Yeah, 100%. But for me, it was for me. So I was looking at this coronavirus, you know, it attacks your, you know, people who are immune deficient, right? But it also attacks people with like high blood pressure and whatnot. So I don't have any immune deficiencies that I know of, or that you probably need to get tested to find out. But like, I have high blood pressure. So I started, when all of this hit, my mental state was like, I'm high risk. If I get this, am I gonna die? Like, am and then that just, so
as the anxiety, you know, as well, but
yeah, heightens everything. So I just started thinking, you know what, you gotta be more healthy. You gotta start eating healthier. So not only did I start eating healthier, I started working out, and so because of those things, my doctor said, if you start eating healthier and you start working out, your blood pressure will just gradually go down. Now, what he's saying is that I don't have like high blood pressure. It's like borderline to high to normal. So he's like, we can get it lowered, but it has to come out of you. Like, you have to do it. I can tell you what things you need to do and give you advice, but it has to come out of you. So I really took that to heart. And what it does for me physically is, dude, there's mornings where I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. Like, I'm just like 6:30 hits and I'm like, but then you go downstairs, you do your first set, whatever that may be. And for me, it's like this overwhelming, I can't explain it, but it's just like this sort of like euphoric, like, feeling of just feeling good. Yeah. You're down there by yourself. It's you time, you know, it's you time, and you feel great. All of the stress is lifted. All of my worries are lifted. I don't think about anything but just the sweating, the working out. And then after you're sweating, you feel good.
Yes.
Like you start feeling good. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, when you start, and if you start going, you're going to feel tired during like the middle stages of the day into like the later stages. But after that, you feel great.
Yeah.
You feel more active. You feel more alive. So for me, I guess I always want to have that feeling of feeling great, of feeling like I've, you know, just lifted some. Every time I work out, I feel like I'm getting closer to my blood pressure going down and the stress just lifting. So for me, that was my goal. And, nice. And also too, like, you know, I wanted to keep fit, because if soccer does come back, and I'm praying that this summer it comes back, I can play. Yes. And I can also ref, right? So I want to keep in shape for that. But awesome. Mainly my main focus is that this coronavirus has opened my eyes. And now that as I'm getting older, you know, when we were young, we were like, we can, whatever. You know, the flu, whatever, you know, you're healthy.
It was for old people to worry about, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when SARS hit, I was in high school. I'm like, it's only affecting old people. But now it could affect anybody. You know, you could be in your prime. And we've all heard stories about being in your prime, and it still affects you, right? So I was just figured, I still feel like I have so much more to live for and you know, and wanting to do. So I'm just like, I'm going to try to be as healthy as possible. And I mean, that doesn't mean, like, for me, I don't take dieting like to the extreme.
Sure.
I still try to eat 80%, well, 90% as much healthy as possible. And then there's 10% where I'm not going to lie to you. I'll go get a Big Mac I want to, or I'll eat whatever, but it's moderation, and I'm not doing it every single fucking day or every other day. It's just,
you're pigging out all the time. Like you're 18 and you're going to live forever. Right.
Yeah. And for me, that was the realization, I'm going to get 36 this year. And as we go older, as we get older, our sort of, our ability to stay stronger goes down, which is weird. So that's awesome. That's pretty much it, man.
And what about diet? I mean, just as far as the 80-20 rule, or even your 90-20 rule, what do you constitute as a clean diet? Just kind of the common sense stuff or anything specific?
Yeah. So, speaking with my therapist, right, when we talk, he tries to hit me with the greens and stuff like that. So to me, there's a lot of diets, there's the veganism, there's the keto, there's, Dr. Atkins, there's, intermittent fasting. Like there's just so much information out there. Right. So to me, it's information overload. So it's kind of like when I go to the gym, I forget what I need to do. And then if you're saying, for example, if you're talking about a barbell curl, like arm curls, right.
Yeah.
That just for me is overwhelming. So, to me, what I started doing is I started following these guys on TikTok, and what they're saying is try a little bit of everything. So I kind of gotten into that mentality where I'm going to do 80% of my, and then you're going to have your proteins, right? And you're going to have some carb. Now, I don't follow strict, calorie deficits and stuff like that. I started that way, and then it just started messing me up. So I was like, because I didn't want to have to go on my phone every time and add the,
analyze the weight.
I can't do that. Yeah. So to me, as long as the majority of my plate is green, I have a little bit of carb and my protein, I'm good. I am not going to go crazy and be like, oh my God, how much, I need to weigh the carb and I need to have certain, because to me, I'm done. I'm lost. So every day I try to eat as much good stuff, wholesome stuff as possible. Okay. And really keep it to the three meals a day.
Okay.
And then in the evening, if I want to have a snack, I can, or I just cut out the snack and then just have my three meals and I feel full. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There's times where I want to go get a bowl of ice cream and I'm going to fucking binge on a bowl of ice cream, but it's moderation. I'm not going to get a big ass bowl. I'm going to get a little bowl. So my wife has these little bowls for her daycare and that's what I get. Two little scoops just to satisfy that need.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's what I do. And drinking a lot of water. I have tons of water bottles on my desk right now. If I'm going to drink pop, which I hardly drink pop now, it's the Coke Zero, cause it has zero calories.
Sure.
It just tastes good.
Yeah.
And but not to drink so much pop. And I think that's what's really helped me out, because if I could, let's say I wanted to do the veganism that my therapist, prescribes.
He's like, you don't have
to, but he recommended to me, right? Yeah. It's to each his own, if you want to do that, go ahead, but what I did is I picked little examples from where he gave me, because there's a good website
advice that, out of all of it.
So there is a good movie that you could watch on, it's called Game Changers. I think we spoke about this.
Did you say it was a good movie?
It was a good movie. I think it was really good. But
I'm glad you brought it up.
but to me, I can't do that. I am not a, to me, I'm not a pro athlete that could work out five times a day and eat all this majority of, when they're telling you need to eat 2,500 calories, I'm like, how can you eat that much? So
honestly, in my opinion, I've said this before on my podcast, but that movie was 100% just a huge propaganda push from the big pharma or big grains and all that shit. Like any athlete, I mean, there's like two vegan athletes around the world that are successful and they found them for the movie. The majority of people eat meat, right? The majority of people eat everything. And it's funny because there's a growing majority of people, not majority, but a growing group of people that are not only keto athletes, but now carnivore athletes. And they're just crushing things, right? There's like Dr. Sean Baker. He's this carnivore doctor. He's 55 or 58 years old, breaking world records and all these kinds of things, right? Perfect. I'm 42 years old. I have more energy than when I was 18. You know what I mean? Like, and I eat just meat. But it's funny because on one hand, I'm just not to be argumentative, but on one hand, the doctor will say, well, you know, this is what I suggest, right? And he suggests a vegan diet, but where is his basis? Like, we don't really challenge a lot of that stuff because it's in our nature to say, well, he's a doctor. I guess he knows what he's talking about. So, but at the same time, you have enough common sense to only listen to what you think is right from him. See what I mean? So at the same time, one can say, well, it's, you know, just take your own best judgment and eat a healthy diet. That's okay. But my question is, why is he suggesting a vegan diet when I don't think it's healthy for anybody?
Well, like, I mean, you know what? You get into the science of it, right? And I mean, that's not to say that I chose a veganism diet because I just, I can't do that. But like,
I'm saying you rejected it innately. It's funny.
Oh, 100%. But the thing is, to me, because I love meat too much, right?
Yeah.
But to me,
I think there's something in our DNA about that, though.
Well, like, you know, like if you really think about it, right? Like the movie goes into the sciences of like, well, there's a reason why the meat that you consume only is grass fed, right? Because the nutrients are coming out of the grass, and then like, why are you going to take the nutrients out of the grass? And so it really starts making you think.
It
right?
makes you
like,
think for sure. Yeah,
it does. Yeah. Like, well, you know what? You know, you're right. Like, why am I going to take secondhand accounts from the beef? Or for that example, but
I just want to hammer this one point about the grass. The truth of the matter is that we can't digest grass, right? And we can't digest most plants in the world. So it's actually in our favor. We're lucky that we have herbivores, right? Like cows that have four chambered stomachs that can eat that grass. They actually upconvert a terribly non-nutritious plant. They upconvert it through their digestion into beef. Honestly, so we can eat beef and we can eat a portion of that beef and get all the nutrients, all the calories, all the benefits we can, that they have to eat like a fucking acre of grass to do that. So that's kind of the benefit of eating beef. And we don't have four chamber stomachs. Like, honestly, we can't eat that grass. So
then what do you say to the people that are eating only leafy products like romaine lettuce or spinach? I think they're
making, that's a good question. I think they're making a huge, huge, huge mistake, but it's not their fault. It's because they've been told that we need, you know, predominantly plants. I think there's a role for plants in people's diets, but I think it's the opposite of what we've been told. I think it's more of an idea of what can you tolerate? Because if you think about it, all elimination diets eliminate most plants. The most digestible food and the easiest foods to digest, first is breast milk. After that, it's meat, quite honestly. So it's interesting. Now, if you start thinking about it the other way, I'm like, I mean, they could find a whole teams of athletes, and they literally are teams of athletes around the world that are omnivores, right? And if you think about the biggest bodybuilders, you think about the most optimal athletes, they do eat a fair amount of protein. The easiest way to get protein is animal source. The most bioavailable protein is also animal too, right? So even if you want to get the same amount of protein from plants, you have to eat 10 times as much, but then the bioavailability of it is even less too. So that's the argument, I guess.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I totally agree because as you're watching the movie, the movie also tells you that plants are not a good source of protein. Right. Yeah, which so is interesting, which is interesting that they say that, because I'm like, well, then why are you promoting? Because you start thinking. Right. So like, it's like, oh, you can make tofu or you can make this and that. Like some variations of it, which give you proteins, and you can like nuts have protein and all this other stuff. So it starts to think. But like, my question to you is like, when you're on a carnivore diet, like for me, for example, right, like I have high blood pressure. Right.
Okay.
So like, you've always been told red meat.
Yeah.
Avoid red meat for high blood pressure. So like, I'm curious, like, how is your blood pressure when you're eating the red meats? Like,
good. I'm glad you asked, because I don't get asked that often, but you're right. The conventional wisdom, right, is not only does meat bad for your blood pressure, but it's high in cholesterol and fat, which raises your cholesterol, which raises your blood pressure as well. That's the assumption, right? So my blood pressure is really good. It's bang on. My cholesterol is bang on. The truth of the matter is that what's really hard on your blood pressure is insulin resistance and what borderline diabetes. So the more insulin you have in your system and the more carbohydrates you have in your system, it's harder on your kidneys, right? Your kidneys regulate your blood pressure, completely regulate your blood pressure, your kidneys. So your kidney health has to will determine your blood pressure, right? So things like removing carbohydrates, better for your kidneys. That'll actually lower your blood pressure. Exercise as well. So a bunch of things you can do, right? Exercise will lower your blood pressure. The interesting fact about kidneys and even blood pressure, but also things like your blood sugar and even cholesterol, is that it's not sodium that's a problem. It's actually sugar that's the problem. So there's a very small percentage of people that get hypertension, right? High blood pressure from sodium. It's actually a very, very small percentage of people, where glucose actually will raise your blood pressure a lot more than sodium does. So, and in an interesting twist, that I just eat meat basically now, right? The odd time, like you, I have a 90-10 diet or 99-1 diet, whatever you want to call it. Just eat meat for the most part. And my blood pressure is great. My cholesterol is great. And I actually have to add salt to almost everything I eat, because I'm not retaining that water. It's completely the opposite, right, of what we've been told. We've been told don't have salt because you're going
to don't have water.
You're going to retain water. You can sway your ankles and all this stuff, whatever, your joints. The truth is, sugar and glucose, especially that high fructose glucose, or especially the refined glucose and carbohydrates, that actually raises your blood pressure. Well, how? It retains water, right? It retains water, and that raises your blood pressure. That actually gives you swollen ankles. So it's the sugar that actually makes you retain water. And then not only with the high sugar, right, your body has to actually then produce insulin and then to counteract that sugar. And insulin's a growth hormone. So you're going to gain weight having high insulin. So that's really why, for me and a lot of people that are doing the whole keto and the carnivore thing, is that a lot of people narrowed it down to, and I think that really comes down to your sugar, not only your sugar tolerance, intake. Your sugar intake, and then what your body does with that sugar intake. And it's all about your hormones, insulin, you know, it's interesting about that. But you're right. You can eat plants all day. And quite honestly, you will need to eat plants all day. Here's an example. If you're a vegetarian and you're eating salads all day, how many salads are going to fill you up? You're going to have to eat all day. If you're not going to eat any meat, you're going to have just rely on beans. First of all, you're going to eat beans and salad all day. You're going to be, I'll hear you a mile away. You're going to be farting all day, right? All these grains, it's really actually hard on that digestive system. And it's funny, the more nutrient dense food you eat, which comes from meat and fat and organs and things like that, the less often you have to eat. So intermittent fasting for someone who's doing a keto diet or someone who's doing a carnivore diet is actually quite easy for a lot of people. Intermittent fasting, if you're eating high carbs, is really hard, right? Because you're hungry all the time. How can you fast?
Yeah.
You're starving. And the reason why you're hungry every couple hours, and the reason why you do have to eat every 3 or 2 hours if you're on a high carb diet, is because you're literally chasing your blood sugar. So if you eat a high carb diet, even if it's not high carb, but you eat a sandwich, right? 2 hours later, or after that, half an hour later, your blood sugar will rise. 2 hours later, your blood sugar will crash again because insulin is doing its job of lowering that blood sugar back to baseline. The reason for that is because high blood sugar is actually dangerous. You can die, right? So your insulin gets produced by your pancreas, lowers that blood sugar below baseline, actually, and that creates a little bit of a craving. So then you eat again, and it goes up and down all day long. When you're eating mostly fat and protein, your blood sugar is very stable. And the less often you eat, your blood sugar is very stable as well. And the interesting thing is that, say I fast all day, I don't eat anything all day, my blood sugar will be stable all day long, and I feel great, and I have clarity and all this stuff. It makes you almost feel like you don't need to eat. The truth is, you just don't need to eat nearly as much as we do. And you get to that kind of freedom from that high fat diet. But you're right. A movie like Game Changers, man, it makes you think, but I'm afraid that it's like kind of directed a lot of people in the wrong direction. Cause guess how many people you think are going to prescribe to that diet? A lot.
Oh, a lot of people. I mean, veganism is all over the place.
Yeah. It's huge. I'm fighting it.
It's huge. Right. And that's where my mentality comes from. Right. It's like, you're telling me this, you're telling me that, this movie's telling me this, that YouTube video, like it's information overload. So who's right? Who's wrong?
Yeah, you're right.
It is confusing.
And for every podcast out there, or every, you know, article, or for every whatever that says keto is good, there's going to be 10 that says it's bad. And I look at that almost like every good thing has been contested, right? Every good thing has been pushed back from the mainstream media, or from the status quo. And this is one of those things, I think, that is against the status quo. It's like, who's in? So think of all the pharmaceuticals, or think of all the products and all that stuff that's making money in the economy. If I'm eating just steak and eggs and liver, There's not a lot of market out there, right? Not a lot of extra market, not a lot of commerce that's built off of a diet like that. There's not a lot of drugs you're going to give me because I don't take any drugs, like no medicine, right? There's not a lot of stuff that if you're going to be healthy. So it's, you know, in one of those conspiratorial kind of ways, there's not a lot of money in making people healthy. That sucks, right? So I think the best way to find it, or the best way to kind of, or for a lot of people, the only way to get to the truth is to really just experiment, right? Try for themselves.
100%. I agree.
And that's what happened to me, right? I did the low fat diet for years. I eat chicken and rice for like 2 years fucking straight. Chicken breast and rice tastes like nothing, right? I couldn't add butter to it. Didn't even want to add salt because, salt's bad for you. I did that, you know, during my 20s, 300 and some weight, you know, pounds. Couldn't lose weight. You know, you saw me at OpenTex, right? 2016, I kind of started the whole keto kind of thing. I started losing weight, more and more weight after a year. You know, it's been 4 years now, I guess 5 years almost now. And it's kind of gone the area now where I've gone to the point where, like I said, I'm just eating meat, but you can still do it with a keto version. What you're doing actually sounds perfect because in a lot of ways sounds perfect because you're basically eating a lot of greens, right? And then you're having some protein. So just have some meat on there. If your protein is meat, you're fine, right? Eggs, meat, stuff like that. And then your carbs, you're saying you're eliminating your carbs, but really you're having some carbs in that salad. You're having some carbs in vegetables. So if you mean carbs by some starches or some like, you know, grains or something.
Probably like breads and stuff like that. Yeah.
If you are, and if you're doing that and you're great and it's working great for you, great. My suggestion for people who are trying to either lose weight or get healthier or trying to kick something is to also kick that grain, because you can have carbohydrates, and carbohydrates themselves aren't innately, you know, dangerous or innately bad, but it's what the carbohydrate comes in. And for a lot of people, grains cause problems, but for a lot of people, some people not. So yeah, if you are interested in something to tweak, that might be somewhere to go.
Yeah. Oh, and it's interesting that you were saying that as I was hearing you talk about how like the, you know, your liver, you know, has the problem, and if your liver has problems, and that's where your high blood pressure comes from. So it's really interesting you saying that.
Though, because your liver is also, it's interesting you mentioned that, because the liver is the first place that actually digests high fructose corn syrup and all glucose and all fructose, rather, the same place that delivers or digests your alcohol, right? So the same idea, if you're having problems with your liver, you can backstep your kidneys and then you're right.
Like I was listening to that and I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. Like, you know, maybe I should cut that, because like it, and it's not like I'm having high amounts of, like what I'm saying is, like in the mornings I'll have 2 fried eggs, eggs over medium.
Good.
And because they're dippy, right? I love to, and you know, from growing up, right? Like from growing up, my mom would make us the eggs and we would dip it in with some bread.
Yep.
So toast. So like, but I also do like eggs and bacon, which is when I actually lost a lot of weight. It was when I was doing intermittent fasting, and every morning on OpenTex, I would go get some eggs and bacon, and that's it. Put a little bit of ketchup on it.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And like having a lemon water in the morning, it really helps. So like, and I don't have too much rice, it is good, but like, I don't have a lot of it. If anything, I will make sure that it's just like a little portion, because I still like to have the taste, but like,
it's in your DNA too. I get it with the rice. I mean, it's like the pasta. Right. Yeah.
Oh man, you're right. Maybe, you know, I'm going to try that out.
Well, if it helps at all, I remember when I was at OpenTex, I mean, for a couple of years, I was going there having breakfast. I started at 2 eggs. I went to 3 eggs, 4 eggs. You can even ask your brother and some of those guys, they probably think I was crazy. I went to 6 and 7 eggs in the morning, right? At even one point I got to 8 eggs in the morning, and I lost literally 100 pounds doing that, you know, over the course of a year or so. So yeah, try that out. It is hard to, you know, to get rid of the carbs, right? It is hard to get rid of the bread.
100%.
Yeah. But everything good is hard, right? That's true. Yeah, you know, anything that we could try is hard. Okay, let's switch gears. I want to get into the El Barbudo. So El Barbudo, if that's okay. El Barbudo, new company you've started, right? Oh, how long has it been open now, or how long you've been running?
It's been a year, actually. A year and a bit. So I started it late 2019.
Okay, so tell us about it. What is it, and the origins, kind of what's your idea, the passion behind it now?
So, I mean, El Barbudo basically means the bearded one in Spanish. So I kind of, there's a lot of, it's beard care products. So I do beard oils, beard balms, and beard butters. Okay. So at first, it was funny because when I was growing, I always saw these guys with like luscious, you know, masculine manes. Like, you know, it was incredible. Like you see this guy, he's got a sweet beard and it's like, that's a fucking man.
Yeah,
like,
it's machismo.
Yeah. So I decided to start growing a beard. And I've always had facial hair. Yeah. But like, I really decided to grow my beard years ago. Okay. And so at the beginning, I never did anything to it. It was just there.
Okay.
You know? And so then I started researching it. And then I started looking into like beard products and like beard oils. So I decided to buy like these generic branded beard oils. I went to, I don't know, Sally's, right? For like hair and stuff, for like where barbers go to buy hair stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try them out. So I bought this beard oil. And then I started looking up this guy called BeardTube on YouTube. And he was telling you how, like, you got to make sure to look into the ingredients because a lot of it is chemical. So then I looked at this beard oil. And I'm like, holy shit, it's like nothing but chemical. So it was like damaging my skin and my beard. Yeah. So then I really started to do some research. And then I started researching companies that had good ingredients.
Okay.
And so as you can see, there's a guest now, my wife coming in here feeding a guinea pig.
Hi.
So I started researching that and I started seeing that a lot of these ingredients that were in the beard oils was like natural organic oils that are good for your skin. Okay. So like a lot of the body butters that you see now that women use have like jojoba oil, sweet almond oil, those sort of things. So they're products that help your beard. Okay. Not just your beard, but your skin. Okay. Right. So they're good.
Actually good for you.
Oh yeah. So a lot of like, you know, like if you get tattoos, they give you some tattoo butter or whatever that's just like beard balm, beard butter.
Okay.
To put on there to repair the skin.
Gotcha.
So I really started researching and I bought some natural organic ones from a guy in Toronto, you know, support local.
Yeah.
So his stuff was really cool. And I'm like, how can I make these? And one thing led to another. I started buying all these things, mainly, I just wanted to test it with oil first.
Okay.
So then I started making my own concoctions. I started asking my wife, like, what do you think of this smell? Because she didn't like the, like those woodsy smells that I buy. So she, I tried to experiment with ones that I thought were smelled good.
You just kind of went through sampling and
I wanted to be unique because there was nothing that everywhere it's like Zeus's beard or like like Manly Woodsman or like the Mountaineer or something like that, but I'm like, but there's no like Hispanic
like a connection
out there. So I'm Hispanic and it's kind of funny because everybody was telling me like Hispanics don't wear beards. Like you're basically screwing your brand right from the beginning. Cause if you're catering it to Hispanics, not a lot of you guys wear beards. And I'm like, I'm not catering it to Hispanics. I'm just, I'm catering it to my roots. So El Barbudo was born. All of the names are based off of countries in Latin America that are nicknames of them, you know? So Tico, you call somebody a Tico, you know, they're from Costa Rica. You call somebody a Guanaco, they're from El Salvador, where I'm from. So I really wanted to base that off of those. And it's not like I'm just wanting to cater it to the Hispanic community. I wanted to branch myself and sort of be unique.
I like that. You're showing your roots, right? That's
That's and that's where El Barbudo Co. came from. So it's been great. You know, it's been great.
And it's been a year now. So you said you have five distinct scents, I guess.
Five distinct with an unscented one for the people that don't want any smell.
Okay. So you have one, let's go through them. Guanaco, Tico, Nico.
Nika. So you have Cafetero, Chapin, Guanaco, Perfect. Tico, Nico, awesome. Nika. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
Just thinking if there's other ones. I mean, there's more scents coming out actually soon. So
that's cool. Yeah. Well, I'm going to have definitely all the, you know, the links and everything to the show notes, and we'll, I'm going to definitely try them. Like I said, I was looking at the Iwanaka the other day and I want to try that out. It sounded like probably a good fit. I've actually wanted to ask you, you know, I was asking you earlier, like, cause it gets really dry and especially the winter, like that's when I grow a beard, but the winter, dry, right? So we'll check that out. Now I want to ask you, what's the difference between a butter or a balm? Because the oil is pretty self-explanatory, right? It's more liquidy, but what's the difference between the butter or the balm?
Yeah, so actually it's funny. It's good that you asked me because so the difference is between all three. So the oil is not for your hair. It's actually for the skin. It's for the skin underneath.
Good to know. Okay.
So when you're putting on the oil, you're nourishing the skin. So whenever you're feeling itchy, so a lot of people, they stop growing out their beards because they start getting itchy.
Yeah.
Right. They start scratching and I'm like, oh, it's so itchy. I'm just going to cut it off. A lot of people don't fight that stage. Mm-hmm. So what a beard oil does is because of the oils, the natural organic oils like jojoba oil and the sweet almond oils and grapeseed oil, those help. And the concoction that I made is specifically for nourishing the skin, helping repair skin, nice. Getting rid of the itchiness. So I thought of everything and I put, so usually beard oils, you can have one carrier oil. So you can just have sweet almond oil, let's say.
Sure.
And people sell, and that's how people sell theirs. And they put a bunch of chemicals. Me, all I do is like, I do a blend of five to six carrier oils that nourish the skin. So the oil is for your skin to basically stop the itchiness, stop the dryness so you don't get dry. Okay. And it helps promote a healthy beard, like healthy hair growth.
Okay.
The butter is an oil in butter form. So the butter is I would say maybe 75% for your beard. So for the beard hair.
Okay.
And for the skin. So the butter just helps it keep it nice and moist because the moisture is longer. So butters are usually applied at night because at night when you're sleeping, your hair tends to get dry. So when you wake up in the morning, it's not as soft or whatever. So a butter, you apply it at night, keeps it nice and moisturized. And then the balm, mm-hmm. has the beeswax in it. So the beeswax helps to hold and maintain, still has the nourishment of anything else.
Okay. So more shaping,
but it's more shaping. It's like a gel.
I like that.
And some people tell you that beeswax is not good for your hair and all this stuff, but like you'll hear a lot of that stuff. So you take it with a grain of salt. I've had my beard for so many years. I've had no issues with beard wax. Like I make my own, I don't put as much as some of the other ones, but it's still fine. Like other ones that even other people's products that I've tried, there's nothing wrong. It doesn't harm my skin. Like it doesn't really do much. The only issues that are definitely that have to come into play is if you're allergic to nuts.
Okay.
So like shea nut butter. So like in what I do is I use shea nut butter in the butters and in the balms. So if you have a nut allergy, you can substitute that with like mango butter and shea nut butter. Right. Okay. So I do both. I have shea nut and mango butter in both of them. And then you add the oil. So if somebody would message me and say, hey man, I can't do the shea nut. Can you just have it with mango? So I'll just do it with mango butter. Cause I don't want them to, the last thing I want is for somebody to come back at me and say your shit caused an allergic reaction. Yeah, so
exactly. Well, you have an alternative product, so it's perfect.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Good. And that actually pausing this question. So these are per order then? These are, you make them per order or do you have like, or how does it?
Yeah. So a lot of, so the uniqueness of mine is because I'm a one man show, right? Mine is, I do small batch made on order. Nice. So for me, I want to make sure that when you're getting your product, it's the freshest that it can be. Nice. So I don't have anything on shelves collecting dust. So I don't have ready-made bombs, ready-made butters, ready-made oils just sitting on a shelf. Because if you do, it, all of those products start to settle, right? If you're not using them. So if I don't get a sale, you know, they'll start just not being as good as when it's fresh. So, you know, when you buy it, you're going to use it every day. So I know that the oils are going to be used within the bond of everything within the products, right? So, but if I don't get a sale, let's say in a month or 2 months or whatever, which I don't care, right? This is just a side hustle. I don't want it to stay on the shelf and get ruined. Yeah. So when I say made on order, if you order, I'm going to make that order fresh for you. So you know that it's fresh and it's cleaned, right?
And typically what's the turnaround time? A couple days? How long does it take to get an order?
So, you know, I do use it on there, like, because of COVID or whatever. It's not my fault that it might be a little delayed because Canada Post, I use Canada Post, right? Like that's what's used for my thing. But if you're local, so with KW, Cambridge, even Guelph, I do them myself. I deliver them myself and you only pay $2 for local delivery. But the turnaround is usually 24 to 48 hours, depending on my time. Mm-hmm. I try to do it as soon as I get an order. So like, I mean, if I were to get an order right now, technically I'm during my business working hours. I tend to do them in the evenings. And if it's done, so let's say if you just order an oil, I could have that turned around within 4 hours. Yeah. But the butter and the bombs, it needs time to, because it's all the product is heated and it's trying to bond. You need to let it. Those usually take about 12 hours to set to set really good. So usually what I do is between 24 to 48 hours is a good turnaround, which is what I have on there. So
I love that. Yeah. I love that. And I love the idea that it's artisan, right? It's small batch. It's you making it with your hands, right? In your house. It's not some factory in a far off land where we have no idea what's in it. Like you said, there's five ingredients. I really love that. And quite honestly, 2 days waiting is nothing. Right. I mean, you're going to wait for
it.
I didn't live without your product. So I can wait 2 days. Right. Or I did live without your product. Rather, I can wait for 2 days. And the local thing, how's that going with the local delivery? It's fine.
Oh, it's not bad. It's great. I've had a couple of local deliveries. Like I've had a lot of people ask me, like, you get the smart ass people, like, how's your, sanitation portion of it? Like, what do you do or stuff like that? So like, I let them know that everything is sanitary. I always put on gloves when I'm doing any sort of material handling, I clean everything. I get those questions. I get the questions about the delivery. Can you, like, I got one guy like, hey man, I want to buy your products, but like, I don't want to pay for shipping. Like, you know, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, shipping, the shipping is based on the rates that I get from Shopify, which is my, the website that I'm using it because I work for them, but like, everything that you're going to pay for shipping is what I pay. I don't upsell the charges. So I told this guy, well, it's based on the rates that are given to me by the website in Canada Post. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I don't want to pay for them. I'm like, well, are you local? If you're local, it's only $2. He didn't even want to pay $2 for local delivery. Yeah. And he was looking for sort of like a discount. And I was like, well, I'm like, the prices are standard on there. They're really competitive. And right now I have a code that's, if you put in try it, you get 15% off if you're not fully sold on it. So if you want to try the product but you're not sure, hey, 15% on me, right? So, and he still didn't want to take it. So I'm like, you can't please everybody.
Get that for sure. I like the thing though. I like the small batch. I like the idea that it's coming from you, like you said, into the local area. And like you said, whether this grows to a multi-billion dollar business or not, it doesn't matter because it's, well, I can't speak for you, but it sounds like it's a passion of yours, right? It's
And if I lose the passion, then I just like, you know, I've told you before, if I lose the passion for it, or it just becomes too much, I won't do it. But for me, when I get order, man, I get excited because it's not that I am making money. It's the fact that I'm doing something that's so cool that I love. And honestly, dude, when I get an order and I'm doing it, I put on tunes. I sit there in my like little chemical lab downstairs and I'm having fun.
Yeah.
All fun because it's passion. Exactly. And once I lose that, then I'll lose the taste for doing this. So until then, I'm having fun. That's awesome.
And like you said, if you make a buck here or there, perfect. It makes everybody happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not my main hustle, which is great. Yeah. You know, I'm thankful that I have a good job. And to me, this is fun. So if you're going to have fun and make a buck on the side, why not? I don't care if I haven't had a sale in like a couple of weeks. Do I care? No, I don't.
Well, you're going to get some sales from this. So I definitely want to promote it. And so it's elbarbudoco.com, right?
.com. Yeah.
So elbarbudoco.com.
Yeah. .com. And like I said, if you wanted to try it out and you're not sure of it, just hit try it and you'll get 15% off.
Awesome.
Maybe we can work something out where I can sponsor your podcast and give you a special code.
That would be awesome. Well, like I said, I mean, I've had a beard for a long time. A lot of people near and dear to me have beards. And honestly, I mean, it's funny. My listeners, my viewers are both split half and half, right? Both male and female, half and half. But the males that do listen for the most part are really a lot of them are my age, right? A lot of guys are interested in the same stuff that I'm interested in, or a lot of buddies of mine and family and all that.
Of course.
Stuff. But also just the local area is a great way to kind of promote local business, right? Cause I'm all about the local business. You are as well. I know me and you've always talked about in the past of, I've always, you know, thought I want to open up a little sausage stand or a little, you know, making salamis or something out of my basement. So this is something definitely, which I like that cause it's that entrepreneurial part, right? But like you said, if you're having fun on top of it, perfect.
Exactly. 100%.
So let's talk about mental health again quickly, but I want to talk about specifically about the Bell Talk thing that's going around. I wonder if you have any specific feelings about that. I think it's a good, my first thing I want to say about it, I guess, is that I think it's good to get people talking. I wonder if there's something a little bit disingenuous about the whole Bell promoting it. Not saying it's disingenuous, but I fear that we're missing the point sometimes, but at least if people are talking, that's one thing that I think is good. So I don't know, what's your take on it?
So, I mean, it's growing up in a time where mental health wasn't in the lime, in like the spotlight, as I would say, because when I started with my depression, I was in high school. My parents didn't know how to diagnose it or how to help me. And doctors were either, you know, maybe you should go speak to somebody, but they never really helped me with it. Or they're like, you know, go speak with a priest or something like that, you know, trying to do that. I mean, mental health has always been around, and there have been doctors that have, you know, obviously they know what they're doing, right? Therapists and stuff. But like, it hasn't really been in the spotlight because a lot of people are like, "Whoa, what? You're depressed?" But like, you don't have a disease, bro. You don't have like AIDS or cancer. Like, why are you crying? Like, you know, I've gotten some of that from before, right? So, I mean, mental health is a disease. It's just a disease that's in you, right? Yeah. It does, you know, mess you up in more ways than one, right? So. The fact that a big company like Bell, they've been doing it for 11 years or something like that. Wow. I give them kudos because they're putting it in the spotlight. Yeah. So whether or not, you know, there's like morality backing them up and they feel bad about doing it, about mental health, probably not. They probably don't care. It's probably they're just jumping on the trend or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a good trend for them to jump on it. And then, you know, every time you tweet with the hashtag, they give 5 cents to mental health charities, whether you tweet it or put it on Facebook or stuff like that. That's really cool. So you could tell that, you know, it may be a marketing scheme, but it's a good one because they're putting mental health on the map in Canada, at least. And it gets people talking because a lot of people don't talk about it. It's funny because you know, like my daughter's going through mental health right now, post PTSD from her surgeries. Like, I'll never understand what she went through. Or never feel what she went through, right? And it's funny because she's like, I'm fine. I don't want to speak to somebody. Mm-hmm. But you're not really fine. You still replay those in your head and you start talking about it and you're thinking like, man, I could have died. And you start getting depressed over it and you start getting anxious. So a lot of kids now, there's so much pressure on children nowadays. Yeah. Right, that mental health is a serious topic that should get talked about more and more, you know, like right. Kids now, I think kids now during the pandemic are suffering the most because they are not used to this. Now you have children that are at home, they're studying at home, they're looking at a teacher through a screen instead of having that interaction. And we really didn't know how much that would affect children. We thought that children are going to have a blast. You know, you're staying at home, you don't have to go to school, you don't have to do that, yeah. But they crave that interaction, you know. It's affecting them mentally. And for people and children in general already had or dealing with mental health issues, to pile this on and me knowing that I'm an adult, and for me it was still bad, I could only imagine. So the awareness, I think, should be made more we should be continuing, especially now more than ever during this pandemic.
You're right, you actually touched on a lot of good points there. So if I can remember, in the end, what Bell's doing is great because it's progressing, right? It's pushing the idea, it's bringing to light, whether, like you said, whether they deep down they have good intentions or not, it doesn't really matter, because this is good. You're right. So that's good. And the idea that it does need to be brought to the spotlight, because it was hidden, you're right. Even growing up for me, like, and you know that all the old cultures were even worse, right? The grandparents, mm-hmm. and great-grandparents, they hid even way more than we had. So if this aunt or this uncle or this mother or whatever had issues, it was, not only did people say that it was all in their head, holy shit, like that's harmful enough to say, oh, this person's not sick, this person or whatever, it's just, I don't know, they can't deal with this or whatever. But it's good that
you gotta suck it up.
Yeah, well, that was the old mentality, right? Just walk it off, it's essentially a mental walk off, right? But that's just not the case, right? And it's good that it's being brought to light. And it's weird that, like, maybe it's the perfect timing that it is brought to light. The last 10 years they've been doing this, but it's so important, because now this is, like you said, this is showing us how important or how much this is affecting our kids. Like you said, we've known that screen time was affecting our kids. We've known for the last 10 years that screen time in general, mm-hmm. that since cell phones came out, scientists have been saying, hey guys, it's not that good for you. And now society has kind of forced us into even more
to go to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now I understand, like, there's, you know, the kids, my kids, your kids, everybody's kids are going, I just miss my friends. I just want to go and be a kid, right? And play and all this stuff. So it's scary, because we're torn between our government and the scientists and the health professionals are saying, stay home, be careful, be scared, essentially. And at the same time, we're like, wait a second, this is hurting us. Like, this is really, really hurting us, to the fact where kids are putting videos out saying how they're depressed, and their parents are putting videos out because their kids are depressed. And like, there's the suicide has gone up and all this stuff has gone up at the same time that we're also shining more light on it. So it's like this crazy crossroads, right? Like this nexus where, like, what's.
Yeah. It's a catch 22. And it's, I was watching, I saw a video of a student. She went viral with a movie that she made about how it is what she's living through her eyes. Okay. And no dialogue, really powerful. And if I can find it, I posted it on my Facebook, but I'll find it. I'll send you a post so you can watch it, but really powerful. And it really spells out how it's affecting children and everybody in general. Like, I mean, could you imagine if we were back in 1918 when the Spanish flu hit, yeah. We had no social media, we had no TV or anything like that. Those people must have gone mental, you know, because
or did they not? Yeah, you're right. Maybe they did go mental, but at the same time, I don't think their life wasn't dependent on the as well.
Yeah, exactly. But like, so, yeah. I'm just. Like, yeah, staying at home, what are you going to do, playing board games or whatever? But like, it's crazy to think that I tell my wife all the time, like, dude, the Spanish flu was like 3 years. And listen, whether you believe in the COVID thing or not, I hate it because I see so many people out there that are like, it's fake. The government is telling you what to do, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, I'm pretty sure you have hidden mental health issues that you should probably look into, because like something must have bothered you when you were, you know, or something is in there. No, and I'm not saying it to be rude, and I'm saying it to be true, because you must have some sort of PTSD about something.
Well, I think there's so much distrust out there, right? There's so much distrust for our government that something like, this is the perfect example, because I don't think it's fake by any means. However, I do think the government is overreaching. So how do we make sense of that?
I totally agree with you. Like, do I 100% agree with what everything the government is telling us or doing?
Yeah.
No. But what I do believe, and I wholeheartedly believe, is that they at least some form of care to the population. Now, have we ever had, and it's funny because I fought or debated this with a friend. I said, have we ever had a government, or in government history or in the history of man, have we ever had a government that's actually true to the people? They may say, yes, we're for the people and blah, 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 blah. But when they come into power, what do they do? They're corrupt. They do. I'll give you an example. Like in El Salvador, when El Salvador had its civil war, right? You had the rebels who fighting for the people, fighting for the farmers, farmers' rights. They were fighting for the poor people and blah, 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 blah. That's what they were fighting for. And they promoted it. And people clung to that. People from small towns who were poor, they clung to that. And they were fighting the military oppression of, you know, the government and all this. When they became a legal, viable political party in El Salvador, they took power. They do didn't care about the farmers, didn't care about the poor people. They just wanted to get into power and to have their own agenda. Yeah. Every single government has their own agenda. Yeah. So there is no good government. Yeah. So you just got to take it with a grain of salt. And
if you look at it another way, the reason how the governments have been successful, or the reason why we've been successful as people, is because we've been keeping them in check. So maybe. Yeah. So maybe this is, and because they technically work for us, right? We forget that they work for us.
Yeah, we do. And we do. Yeah.
And when we've been at home, a lot of people have been home. A lot of people have been out of work, right? They've been working, or they've been at least getting paid. That's other things that people are getting really pissed off about too. But I guess maybe the idea of keeping them in check is good, because we should question them. When he says something on TV, whether it's our Supreme Leader Trudeau or our Supreme Leader Ford in Ontario, whatever it is, right? When I hear them talk, when I hear anybody talk, my bullshit detector is always on, right?
Yeah, you take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah,
always like, take it with a grain of salt.
So I think the problem though is that this time is that this is like a really drastic measure for a lot of people. This is something that a lot of people have never lived through. So now when someone questions what they're hearing, like me, for example, if I say, I don't really know if that, you know, whatever's fact I'm reading or whatever, you know, policy or whatever suggestion I'm hearing, if I say, I'm not really sure if I believe that, sometimes we're in a time today where we're getting shit on just for questioning stuff. And oftentimes we have to remember that it's us questioning stuff that keeps us straight. Right? It's what keeps the government in check, is us questioning stuff. So I hate it when someone says, well, you think it's all fake? Wait a second. Just because I said I don't trust the first vaccine that came out 6 minutes after it was released doesn't mean I think it's all fake, right? So exaggerating, of course, didn't come out 6 minutes. But like, just because I'm questioning anything doesn't mean that I think it's all fake. And I think the same logic has to be applied with 10 years ago, it was okay to question vaccines. 5 years ago, it was okay to question vaccines, right? Whether you think it's crazy or not, it was still okay to have that position. So it should be okay to question this, right? But like you said, that being said, when someone, either you see a video when someone dies next door, or you hear about someone who dies next door, oftentimes that example gets thrown in our face. They go, well, don't you care about people? I'm like, yes, I do care, right? And that brings back to the original point you said, during COVID, it made you think about how to get healthier. That's what we should be talking about. How the hell can we lower everybody's risk from dying, right? Not just long care facilities, not just our kids, not just the teachers, not just people in hospitals, but how do we lower everybody's right, or percentage of, or case of dying or complications from this. And the truth is that we need to be healthier. We need to be metabolically healthier, right? We need to have better managing of our sugar and our high blood pressure, all this stuff, because like you said, all this stuff makes, you know, COVID worse. But like you said, at the same time, it's hard because we're being told, or the narrative is changing. It seems like it's changing. Some people say, well, the narrative has been the same, but the advice is changing every day because science is changing every day. Sure. But in this, you know, in the real kind of theme of science, then we should also be able to question science. So science is never settled by the definition of science, right? So I don't know.
There's my rant. I know. I wholeheartedly agree with you. Like, I mean, should you question? Of course, you should always question everything. But don't be stupid. Let's overthrow the government. Let's go over there. So I pose that question to my friend. So if you were to successfully overthrow the government, okay, if you did it yourself, what would you do differently? Well, I'm not a politician.
Yeah.
Well, then there you go. So the politicians are doing their job, whether or not you believe them, is just one thing. But they're doing their job is another. So I can't be a politician. I don't know how to run a country.
But can you? Because here's another question. Can you maybe the people in council or the people in government, essentially they are people like you and me, right? Just because they're lawyers.
Oh yeah, no, they're 100% human beings like us. But like they, like could I do? So it's the same thing as like if you were to say to, like for me, for example, could I do your job right now in Canada Post?
Sure.
Probably not without some form of training.
Training, exactly, yeah.
I would have to have that training and vice versa. Like you would not be able to do my job that I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
With some form of training. So yes, I can be a politician, but I would need that training.
Yeah. So here's something I can even dig deeper on this. What kind of training does a politician need or should they need? Unless it's like, it seems like, you know what I mean? Like it makes me think of what kind of a training does a politician need if they're just speaking for the people?
That's good. That's a great question.
Because I'll tell you, I was president of my high school and I had a great campaign. All my friends are laughing right now. And you know what? Well, of course, I did nothing the next year. We had a carnival and I had pizza day or whatever. But the idea was like, I don't think anybody's qualified to be a politician. And I think if someone thinks they're qualified, we should probably be afraid of that person. What do you think of that? Because it's like, I mean, if you're looking for power, that's a good way to do it. Get in politics, right? But you can also be in politics without looking for power.
Yeah, you have an agenda if you know what you're doing. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a good politician would, instead of retain that power or have that power, would redistribute that power, right? Because the power is in the people, right? So I don't know. Maybe this just my soapbox kind of talk about. Maybe I'll run for politics. We'll see.
Yeah, go for it.
But Mario, I don't know. What else can we wrap up? What else can we say today to our guests? Thank you so much. Do you have anything you want to, I mean, any closing, I guess, remarks or not closing remarks, but anything that you want to say about COVID as well, about anything? I mean, yeah, I don't know. Anything else to say about that?
I mean, I think the only thing that we can end off with in a positive light is, you know, regardless of how you feel, don't have your feelings. Don't keep your feelings inside. Talk to somebody. You always have somebody there. And I think I posted it yesterday when I said, I may not know you and you may not know me, but I am always somebody that you can talk to. There is always somebody there, to help, to even if you just, I'm not a therapist, but just to be an ear for you to talk.
Yeah.
Just, you know, don't leave things bottled up, as cliche as it sounds. There's always somebody there. Know that, and know that you are worth every breath that you take, and that you have people that are there rooting for you, even though sometimes you may feel like it's not there. Yeah. They're always there for you. So
that's beautiful.
Just, I want you to go and speak to somebody. Because trust me, letting out your feelings is way better than just keeping them. So, you know,
awesome.
Well, go speak to somebody.
That speaks volume. And you're 100% right, brother, because it's like, you know, we talk about, you know, it takes a village, and I can't wrap up yet because we have more to talk about. It talks about taking a village and, you know, to raise children, to raise a family, to be healthy. And it really does, right? We're always reminded. Mm-hmm. And you said something as well that I love is that, it doesn't even matter if you know somebody or not. A complete stranger can help you. A complete stranger that knows nothing about you, even 2-minute conversation, a 2-minute message on social media or something can make you feel better just by reaching out, right?
Yeah, you could change their whole day.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody's seen a podcast or heard a song or watched something that, like you said, that inspired them or brightened their day or reminded them that, you said, we have more to live for. And I thank you for reminding us that we do have these wonderful lives. We're so grateful. We should be so grateful, right? Even during times of COVID, even during times of you know, difficult times that like you said, don't hold it inside. Remember that everybody has it. The thing, you remember when people used to think, oh, there's this person has a mental health issue or this person deals with mental health. Everybody deals with mental health. It's not whether they have a mental health issue. It's a spectrum. We all have mental health, just like physical health. We all deal with it, right? So I like the idea of keeping everybody on board and reaching out, always reaching out. It's the same thing. If you broke your elbow, you broke your arm, you wouldn't be afraid to go to the doctor. You wouldn't be afraid to ask for help, your mom, your brother, your sister, whatever, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
We really need to think of it the same way as our mental health, because it's funny, the people in our life contribute to our mental health. So of course we should ask them for help if we're having issues. They're part of it, right? They're part of our lives. The other thing I want to say too is that we shouldn't be, I hope that people aren't married to their ideas as well, because like you said earlier, is that we may have different ideas about different things, but those ideas can change, right? After mm-hmm. time and after different perspective and hearing someone else's story, those ideas can change. So I think that it's good to be open-minded. It's good to, you know, have perspective and to know that, you know, we're not necessarily experts in anything, but at the same time, you and I are therapists, because you can be my therapist for half an hour if I need you. And I can be your therapist for half an hour if you need me, right?
Yeah, it's just a lending ear, and like I love that you said that you know, you may have so many ideas and whatnot, and some people may say I've certainly gotten criticized for like, holy cow, first you wanted to start a clothing brand, then you wanted to start a beard oil company, then you wanted to start a hat company, but that is what makes you creative.
Yes,
you're always thinking, you're always being creative. So, you know, if you have all these ideas, jot them down. That's fine. Jot them down, and then maybe you can come back to them. But don't feel bad that you have this idea. Oh, and now tomorrow you're going to have another idea. Am I crazy that now I'm thinking this and stuff? Like, yeah. The more ideas you have, the more creative you have, the more creativity you have, and the more you can do. And expanding your mind is always something good. So, like, you know, go for it. You have an idea to have a podcast, go for it. You want to do gaming, go for it. You want to be a mobile app creator, whatever, man. You want to make games, you can do all that if you want to. Just put in the time and the effort to learn it. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's amazing. And like you said, and creativity creates more creativity. And that's what love is, right? And that's what sharing, that's why artists create, to share the love mm-hmm. and to communicate with other people. And what are we communicating? I think what we're communicating is that we're all in this together, right? So maybe that's where we can wrap it up. Mario, thank you so much for your time, my brother.
No, I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Again, it's elbarbudoco.com. And we'll definitely, we'll talk later and we'll hook us up from maybe a discount code or some kind of promotion or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, buddy. Thank you so much. And please say hi to the family and your brother and everybody for me. Have a great day, brother.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks. Cheers.
All right, man. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's say bye to everybody. Bye. And we'll say thanks for listening. Say thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
That's So Radio, the really great podcast show.
That's So Radio, the really great podcast show.
So get your butt and get in your chair.
Don't eat your nails and don't pull your hair.
We'll talk about chicken or talk about steak.
We'll talk about fat for goodness sake.
Fatso, the really great podcast show.
Fatso, our very first podcast show.